Hey, church family, welcome to Church News, and welcome to 2026. My name is Caleb.
And I'm Ava.
And we're so glad you chose to be with us at church today. Ava, what do we have coming up?
I only believe we know that strong marriages build strong families, and strong families build a strong church. Marriage is Us is a small group designed to help you grow closer with your spouse, build relationships within the church, and grow it with your spouse as well. No matter what season of life or your age, you are invited. Marriage is Us happens every second Sunday at 9 a.m. up in the loft. For any more information about Marriage is Us, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby.
Baptism is a meaningful next step for anyone who has chosen to follow Jesus. It's a public declaration of faith that represents leaving the old behind and stepping into the new life that Christ has given us. It's through baptism that we participate in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, celebrating the transformation that he brings. If you said yes to following Jesus but haven't been baptized, we want to invite you to take this next step. We have an indoor heated baptism waiting for you to do so. To sign up, you can scan the QR code on the screen or head out to the Welcome Center in the lobby, and we can't wait to walk in this next step with you.
Hey guys, I'm Jesse. I usually can be found out here at the welcome desk or in the lobby or with the greeters. That's where I serve, and I wanted to tell you about something exciting that we have new here at the church that is an opportunity for you to get involved. And it's actually in the little hallway coming from the lobby to the main sanctuary. And you'll find these cards at the Welcome Center that say, be a blessing or have a need. So if you have something that you would like to bless someone else with, something that's in good shape that you think could really be a blessing to someone, you can go ahead and fill out this card and bring it to the welcome desk, and we'll post it on the board. And if somebody sees that, they like it, they think, hey, this would be great for what I need, they can bring that to us and we can get you guys together to exchange that item. Or if there's something that you're really in need of, go ahead and write it on here and someone might just have it around. We just want to give you an opportunity to be the church with your church family and work together to bless each other. So if you have questions, come see me at the Welcome Center and we'll get you hooked up with one of these cards.
We are so excited to be kicking off 21 days of prayer today. For the next 3 weeks, we will be setting aside intentional time to pray first as a church family as we begin this new year. From now until January 24th, we will be meeting in the sanctuary on Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Prayer on Wednesdays and Sundays will take place during our service. As we pray together, let's expect that the Lord will meet us right where we're at and move in ways beyond what we could imagine. Let's step into 21 days of prayer with hearts open and minds ready to receive all that the Lord wants to do in us.
Here at All and Believe, we put out invite cards on the pews and out in the lobby, and they're a super easy way to invite someone who might need hope, community, or a fresh start. So be praying about who God will lead you to invite to our next service.
And as always, for more information on anything and everything we have going on here at Only Believe, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and get all of your questions answered. Now, let's prepare our hearts as we dive into God's Word today.
Who helped prepare this service, who are waiting in the children's church to receive your kids, who had made your coffee so you could drink a fresh cup when you got here in the morning. It's only a new year if you do something new that you didn't do last year. Did you hear that? Or it's just another year. But it's a new year because you choose to do something different than in the year before. You want it to be different. I know I want 2026 to be different than 2025. But I want it to be long-lasting change that we're after. Amen? So you're in another year. I hope for you it's going to be a new year. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray. Let's do what we did last year every day before we do anything. Let's pray. God does a new thing every time we pray. Amen? Father, we come before you today, and Lord, we just give you our new year. Father, we just place it in your hands. Father, we place this service into your hands. And Father, we ask that you begin a work in us that the enemy cannot stop. Begin a work in us, Father, that would bring us to a place in the kingdom, Father, that you've long awaited for us to arrive at. Father, you've invited us into this new year to come according and alongside you and to do your wishes and your plan. Father, I'm glad to be a part of it. Thank you for including us, your church, in Jesus' name. Father, bless the word we're about to share. Let it go in our hearts, Father, and bring forth the change that only the Spirit can do. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, well, we're starting out today with 21 days of prayer. We will not be meeting here tonight at 6 o'clock. We're gonna do it right after our morning service. We're gonna actually attempt to pray for 25 minutes together as a church. If you've never done this with us before, I'm asking you, please try to attempt to stay today and see what it looks like for you. You might sit and pray, you might walk and pray, you might wanna go to one of the small groups room and sit where it's quiet. There's worship music on here. We like to turn it a little louder so that you can pray out loud. I like my spirit and my flesh to hear what I'm saying. There's something that happens when you hear the word you're speaking. It goes into your ears and it creates and releases a faith that when you pray, there's something happening. You gotta have faith to pray. Without it, you're not gonna please the Lord, because any prayer that's not offered up in faith is just idle words being said. So that does us no good. So I'm inviting you to stay today. But today I wanna share from you, from my heart to you as a church, about the why behind the what. Why is it that 21 days of prayer is so important to us as a church? And I thought this was going to be a shorter message so that I could leave you a little bit more time, but I'm not sure. I'm just telling you that prayer is going to be where we land today. But I'm going to try to lead you into some things and tell you why it's important to us. And I feel like a lot of this is very kindergarten, but I feel like we need to be reminded of what it is. First of all, prayer isn't just something you can add to your to-do list every day. Some of us want to do that, and we just want to check it off and move on. Prayer is much more than just a meeting on a calendar. It's more than an obligation, though some of you feel that you're obligated to pray. I hear about praying and reading all the time from the pulpit. You're right. There's a reason you hear about that, because it's not an obligation. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to connect with a supernatural God. See, I'm earthly, I'm natural, I'm flesh, and I have a spirit inside of me, and that spirit longs to connect with its creator. And that creator is inviting you and I, through prayer, to convene with him. And if it needs to be put on your to-do list and be made a meeting in order for you to remember that the Creator, the Almighty God, is asking you to come, then please put it on your schedule. But it's an opportunity that my natural sees from a supernatural place. And now God gets to come into my very natural place and do something supernatural that I can't take for my own glory. It can only be because God has come into my situation and changed it. But if you never accept it as an opportunity and you only see it as the obligation, then you'll get your to-do list done and you'll walk out the same way you came in. It was just an obligation. And now I've done what I thought I needed to do. The story I want to talk to you about today is in Genesis, the 28th chapter. And I'm going to give you a little bit of background, because this story is about a man named Jacob. And Jacob was a twin to a boy named Esau. And Esau was the firstborn out of the womb, and right after was Jacob, and he was on his tail. He was trying to get a hold of his leg so he could pull him back and he could go first. He wanted that to be the plan, but Esau was first. But how many of you know that until God gets a hold of you, the intentions that are inside of a man's heart will always lead him astray, no matter what, until God gets a hold of him and rights the wrong. Jacob has this in his heart for his whole life. He should have been first. Why was it so important? Because the firstborn of the family got more than the second, third, fourth, 15th, 38th, 99th. Whatever number you were, if you weren't the first, You didn't get the double blessing. You didn't get the portion. You didn't get the authority that came with the family. Might I add, in this culture, if you weren't the firstborn male, how unfair was that, girls? Come on. That you could have been a male born, but the girl meant nothing. But this was the culture that they were raised in. So Jacob's mom thought this was very unfair too. And she thought that Jacob should have been the first. So she starts planting in Jacob's heart, along with the heart that's already full, that you should have been first, not second. You're better than your brother. You should receive the blessing. So she starts encouraging this son to deceive her husband, the elderly husband. You talk about dysfunction. You think America, our families have dysfunction. The Bible had dysfunction. Great dysfunction. No greater than what ours is today. Just a different level or a different way of doing it. Same thing. Same devil. Deception, liar, same devil today in America. At root and at work in our family. Amen? Now Loretta agrees with that. So while the father's ailing, Jacob goes in and deceives his father. Puts some hair on his arm, acts like he's a hairy brother and he was the slick brother, whatever it was. And he gets the father to give him his blessing. And this is where we kind of pick up. In the meantime, the mother has realized that not only did she encourage the lying and the deceitfulness, but now he's got to run away from their home because the brother's after him. The brother's so mad that if he gets a hold of him, he's just probably going to kill him. And then they're going to have murders on their hands, and she doesn't want murders. So she sends Jacob away to another place where he can find a wife because she doesn't want him to take a wife from the Canaanites. And this is where we land. Genesis 28, 8th chapter, the 10th verse. It says, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. But he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your descendants, the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Now, the first thing that I noticed right away, and this isn't my message, but it sure will be a good one day when I preach it. Sin is always wrong, no matter how little or how big this sin is. And we are never to live a life of rebellion. However, if we find ourselves in the place that Jacob found himself, making the wrong choices, being a liar, being deceptive, and running from the very choices that had caused all this struggle and having to leave the people that we love because we've caused so much harm, that if we will repent, that if we will have a true heart change and begin to allow Christ to change the heart within us, that he will make victory to arise up out of what the devil meant for our defeat. That's what I see here with Jacob. See, Jacob got a second chance, and God's telling him that when you needed me the most, Jacob, my presence was with you. I didn't have to be with you. You were a liar. You're a cheat. You're deceiving. You were a thief and stole your brother's blood right. But because I am God, I met you in that dark place. Had Jacob never done all the evil that he would have done, he'd have never been running. He'd have never laid down at Beersheba, and he would have never understood what the place of Bethel meant. For surely you were with me all along, and I didn't even know your presence was with me. When I was lying, you were still there. When I was deceitful, you were with me. Now I'm in this place, and I see that you were there all along. And yet I was still in my broken place, but the promise that you made to my father, and the promise that my father was Isaac and his father was Abraham, and you said that the very promise you gave to Abraham that you would give to my father, that my father didn't live to see it, that you would pass it down to me, a deceiver and a liar. I don't deserve it. Yet your promises are true. Do you realize that Jesus said, or that God said in the scripture, it said, I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Remember, there's a scripture in Isaiah. It says, my word does not go forth out of my mouth without it going to the earth and doing what I tell it to do. And when it does what I tell it to do, then it can come back to me. It's like the rain. When I send the rain doesn't come halfway down and then go back. It comes to water the earth. When it waters the earth, then it condensates and comes back up to me. Why? After it came to do its purpose. When God makes a promise, when God's word is true, he never goes back on that promise. He never goes back on his word. He watches it and brings it to its fulfillment in spite of the people involved in the middle. He didn't deserve to be used by God, but God met him in his place. Some of us need to hear that today, that even though we've done wrong, even though that we've not been on the course that we need to be, that God will redeem that which is broken, that he can take that broken place and he will still use it to fulfill what he said he would do in your life years ago. And you've disqualified yourself from that. But God says, I've requalified you. Not because of something you've done, but because of what Jesus came to do for you. And when he came, he qualified us all. And now you're able to step into the place where you're supposed to be. Not because of what we did, but because of what Jesus has done for us. Amen. What was it that Jacob had seen? What did it mean, this dream? It meant a lot of things. It symbolized a bridge from heaven to earth. Remember, when Adam and Eve sinned, there was separation between God and man. There was no way back that we could come back. In fact, we can read in Genesis, the 11th chapter, that man tried to build a tower. Remember the Tower of Babel? They were all going to build this with clay and stone. The clay was the mortar, and then the stone was the rock. And they started to build it. They said, we're going to build ourselves this huge thing way into the heavens to reach God. And we'll make a name for ourselves. When God had really just asked them to come and remultiply the earth. But they didn't want to do what God wanted them to do. Man wanted to make a name for himself without God. Man wanted to do something on their own avail, independent from what God wanted. And God said, if we don't go down there and change up their lingo, they're going to build to the heavens. Like, we got to do something because they're not doing what we've asked them to do. They're in rebellion. So he comes down, confuses the language, and the Tower of Babel stops being built. But after that, 17 chapters later, God says, they won't need to build a tower to me. I'm going to extend a ladder from heaven to earth. I'm going to make a way. I'm going to send a mediator. I'm going to make a bridge between man and me. I'm going to send Jesus Christ, and he's going to become that mediator. And that brings me to the scripture we're going to go to in Romans, the 5th chapter, the first verse. Turn with me. You don't have a lot of scriptures today because we got to get to prayer. But this is what it says. It says, therefore, since we have been justified, that simply means made right in God's eyes, through faith in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Because of this Jesus, it's like there's a ladder been dropped from heaven. The ladder is now an access access. So yes, it's salvation. Yes, it's Jesus. But there's an activation that God is saying, there's access to me through Jesus. There's an alignment. How many of you know if you don't line yourself with the ladder, how are you going to get where the ladder takes you? You can't walk. If the ladder's over here, you can't climb it here. I'm climbing a ladder, you believe me? But I ain't going nowhere. If you don't go to where the steps are, you can't climb it, right? You can do this all day long and say you're climbing a ladder, but you're going nowhere. But if you'll align yourself with the goodness of God and start stepping on the ladder, you'll get connected to who he is. But you got to align yourself. You have to realize that the ladder is the access to who and where God is. In this ladder, let's look at this word. It realized that you could, when you got on a ladder, you would come out of one place and go into another. Come out of one place and go into another. What's the scripture tells us? Come out of the world. Don't be like the world. See, God's inviting you and I through prayer to come out of this world's perspective. Come up a little higher. And see things the way I see them. Have you ever played basketball? I used to sit on the bench. And my coach, she would always grab me. And she really didn't like me at all. I'm going to be real with you. She did not like me at all. But she needed my spiciness in the game. You could guarantee that I was going to foul out in the fourth quarter. And that I was going to make every foul count. And that I was going to be on every ball, on every floor that there was. Because I was scrappy. And she'd grab me. I mean, literally, we'd be in a timeout, and she'd grab me, and she'd say, Dosik, you're sitting the bitch. You got four fouls. Can't afford for you to have any more. Blah, I'd get the whole thing. And then I'd go to sit down as far away from her as I could get. And she'd say, oh, no, right here, Dosik, right next to me so I can talk to you. You want to know why? Because she wanted me to see outside of the game. Because when you're in it, you can't see it. When you're in the world, your perspective is not God's world. It's not his perspective. See, he's way up here in your life, and he's looking down, and he can see all the moving pieces. But you're way down here, and all you can see are people's belly buttons. And God's like, if you could just see what I see is coming, it's coming. Hang on. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. It's coming. But all you can do is see right here and you think everybody's midgets. Prayer invites you to a perspective that's not earthly. It says, come out of the world and come into the supernatural view. It's splendid. I can see what plans I have for you, says the Lord. And it's to give you an expected future and a hope. I know what it looks like. But if you never align yourself with my ladder and come out of the place you are, you'll never see what I see for your life. And you'll only see defeat and no victory. It's a higher perspective. Prayer places us in the presence of God. Is there anything that cannot be changed in the presence of God? Anything. Because the last time I read the Bible, all things are possible with God. So what in the world in his presence can he not fix? We've got every reason in the world to not align ourselves, to not climb up the ladder, to not take the invitation to come and sit in the presence of God because, God, you just don't understand. I have so much to do. I'm telling you, you think someone in the natural can get something to do faster than someone in the supernatural? Because I've seen what superheroes can do. My God is supernatural. Amen. Do you think that all of the laborsome and all of the self-help reading books that you're trying to put into your life to discipline yourself, to make it better, to be a better person, do you think that God can just rewrite the way you think in your mind and cause it to happen just like this? Instead of you spending hours when all you have to do is just sit at the feet of the Lord in his presence and watch his presence begin to realter your entire life.
Amen.
See, our dependency is in everything else but the presence of God. Would it be that you and I are in his presence in our everyday life? He's walking with us. He's right beside us, and we still do what we want all day long. And there's a ladder walking beside of us, literally hanging down from heaven, connected to a helicopter with the big red cross on the bottom that says, I'm here to rescue you. All you have to do is grab the rope. Grab the ladder and start climbing. Yet we're like, man, I just don't understand where God is. I feel so alone. It's literally walking around you with a ladder right beside you. But you won't align yourself to it. Grab on and start climbing. Yes, it takes effort. Yes, it takes intentionality. Yes, as Pastor Rick was saying, the wind might be blowing it a little bit like this, but you know what? You got to look at which way. Okay, I got you. I'm going to grab it, because once I grab onto the rope of prayer, once I grab onto that, that's my rescue line. Because if I can get to the presence of God, I can get everything I need taken care of. Every bit of access that I ever need has been made. I just got to simply boldly walk into the access that's been allowed. The word ladder, this is what it means. It says it literally means ladder. I want to write this. I got this out of the Hebrew. It's, I think, hang on, let me find it. Can't even find it. Got me all worked up about this. Holy smokes. Anyways, it's shalem, something like that. And I say this because it's very important about what this ladder's doing, because there was people ascending and descending. And I think that when we realize that we could get into the presence of God and that there's nothing that can be taken out, this is what I think of the most, is that in a ladder, there are different rungs. There are different levels of what this looks like. And I looked back over my own life and I thought, Lord, where have I had a level of prayer in my life? Where have I transitioned in my own walk with God? I need something real that I can give these people to talk about. And I can remember that I used to come into prayer with a notebook. And I used to come into prayer with a notebook because my mind would start going crazy of all the things I had to do. Had to do. Guess why? Because what happens is when you start to come out of the world and go into the Lord's presence, the world starts calling you back. It starts calling you back. The phone rings. Your kids get sick. Listen, the second you start a new thing in the new year, everything's going to try to take it away. Everything. But see, this is what happens. The longer you do that. So I gave in for a minute. I'm like, all right, I'm taking the notebook. I'm going to write down everything that you keep bringing back to my mind, because when I write it down, I'm going to let it go, because then I can't forget it. It's going to be on a list. I'm going to go back to the list after my prayer, and I'm going to get it done. But I thought the other day, I take a notebook into prayer every single day. But I don't write my to-dos on that list anymore. Now I take my notebook to write down what he tells me so I don't forget. See, I've gotten smarter. I used to go in with a notebook that had scriptures on healing, because I needed healing for a certain thing in my life. But now I don't have that notebook with healing scriptures. They're in my heart. They're written on my heart. So now when sickness tries to get me, when sickness tries to come, when I'm a healthy person fighting sickness, then I start speaking the word of God, and it starts to bubble up out of my heart, and it starts to come out of my mouth. I don't need a book to flip through to find the scripture. Why? Because I'm not on that level of prayer anymore. I've come up another ladder. I'm moving up in my level of prayer. There were ladders that were the angels, it said. Do you remember? It said they were ascending and they were descending like this. Do you realize that angels move on God's word? He says that I command them to give them charge over you. It's a command that he tells the angels for you and I. You understand, they're messengers, they're protectors, they're fighters. This is what they do. They know the word of God. When you and I say, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Devil, the Lord said he sent Jesus and healed every disease, every virus, every sickness that would ever try to come against my body. I am no longer walking in sickness. I am walking in health, because that is the revelation of the divine child of God, is that God gives me more today than he's ever gave me. He came to give me life and give it to me more abundantly. When you start to say that, immediately angels take the word of God, not because I told them to. You don't command angels. God commands angels. They work for him. They're servants of the Spirit. That's what they are. They work for our God. And when they hear his word come out of your mouth, they immediately go to fulfill whatever that word said and do it. You know what? The more times you say, by his stripes I'm healed, the more angels are delivered out to go fight that war that's ahead of you, that you can't see because you're down here. But when you get up into prayer and you come into the presence of God, then you start to see what's been released on your behalf. Because the prayer of a righteous person, a person living in holiness, who can walk up the ladder to God into his presence without fear, without shame, without condemnation, can walk boldly into that presence and have access to him, every bit of it, can see what God's up to. Church, God's just waiting for us to take the access point. I had Ashley bring this today. I don't know how well this is going to work. I tried it. I've attempted. It could go bad from this moment forward. I'm just letting you know. This is one of those ladders. If you have a second story house, you put this on your kids' windows, and then they can get out of their house. But this is the way I see it in God's eyes, okay? Don't worry, it ain't gonna hurt you. That's God's access point. Waiting for you to get on the rung. Get on the bottom rung and start making your way to the presence of Jesus and into the presence of the heaven. If this ladder was hanging from anywhere in this world, anywhere, and you could not see where it was going, do you know that instinctively you would want to climb that ladder to see where it goes? Don't believe me? Look at Jack and the Beanstalk. Got him in a heap of trouble. Heap of trouble. All he had to do was just ignore the big old beanstalk and everything would have been fine. But no, he had to get all inquisitive. Why? Because it's in your human nature that you want to go higher. And when someone invites you, you want to come in. Church, the invite is present. Angels ascending and descending all day. And what it tells me is this, is that it makes it possible for you and I to walk right into the presence of our Almighty Father and say, this is my problem, and I don't know what to do. But if my problem is so big that I've become buried at the weight at the bottom of that ladder, then God himself has the access to be able to come down into my broken life and begin to fix it and begin to work it right here on earth. You don't have to know what words to pray. You don't have to be perfect, prophetically eloquent in your words. Half the times I correct myself when I pray. I'm like, oh, Lord, just help me. I said, Lord, just walk with me today. I'm like, oh, never mind. You're already walking with me. Take that back. Erase. My prayer has a bottle of whiteout. Just wipe that out. Why? Because I'm reminding myself that as soon as I speak it out of these stupid lips, the Holy Spirit's like, nope, that's not who I am. I'm already with you. I'll never leave you for forsake you. You don't have to ask for me to be with you. I already am. I'm like, all right, I got it today, Lord. It's not perfect. It's simply that I'm aligning myself with the ladder and I'm choosing to walk up and walk in to his presence. Would you stand to your feet today? Since COVID, we as a church have worked really, really hard to create a natural environment and to create a culture of prayer in our church. And I say this because it's important. I want you to know as a church that prayer is important. Acts 2:42. The early church was birthed in a prayer meeting. Jesus told the people, go to the upper room and wait where my gift will be given and pray. And that's what they did. It was a prayer meeting where the Holy Spirit came, and it was a prayer meeting that continued thereafter in the church forever. This is what we do. It's a part of who we are. Four things that are important to the church. One, that we give ourselves over to the doctrine of the apostles. That's the Bible. Number two, that we have fellowship amongst the brethren. Why? Accountability. Some of you think you don't need each other. You do. End of story. I thought I didn't need anybody, and I actually took pride in it. You need people. You need friends. You need accountability, and you need people to hold you up when you can't fight for your own self. That's just the truth of the matter. Number three, they gave themselves over to communion, breaking of bread. This was communion, to remember what Christ had done at Calvary for them, that they would not forget until he comes back for the church. 2,000 years later, we're still breaking bread. We're still taking communion to remember. And the fourth one was they gave themselves over to prayer. Prayer is not because God needs you to pray. Prayer is because you need to pray. Prayer is because I need a supernatural God to come down into my earthly life and to shake things up and remind me that he's got this thing under control. And that there are days that you can't keep me off that ladder quick enough, that my alarm clock is calling and I'm running to the throne of God because I can't wait to get out of that bed and to step in front of that mirror in the morning and brush my teeth so I can start praying immediately. Because I yearn to be in his presence. It's not a to-do anymore. It's a part of who I am. It's a part that if I don't have him, I can't go on. I'm not a good person without him. I can't be without him and be with you. I can't be without him and be a wife and not be a selfish one. I can't be without him and be a mother that loves her kids more than she loves herself. I can't be independent of him, not one second. It's important that you know this presence, because it's in this presence that you and I are changed. It's not in what you say. It's not in what you do. It's not even in how you approach. It's just get there. Just get there and sit and say, I don't even know what to say. Pastor just called and told me I need to be here. Here I am. And just watch it begin to work. But church, if we believe that we don't need prayer, then the church is going nowhere. The church has believed the biggest lie that the enemy could sell us. Do you know the number one problem in America today? Unanswered prayer in church. You wanna know why? They'll get mad when God don't answer their prayer. Yet we treat him like a genie in a bottle. Because we want him to do what we want him to do when we want him to do it. And when he don't, then we're not happy. It's trusting in something that's so much bigger than a genie in the bottle. God can't be outwitted. You can't outsmart him. You can't get what you want and only give him what you think you need. Surrender. It's a surrender of my life. I don't know what's at the end of that ladder. I just know that it's you. And I know that whatever you want for me, I'm willing to say yes at the cost of everything. The cost of my time, the cost of the way I look. Maybe they'll call me some holy roller, this emotionless. I don't care. What I want is to be in alignment with you. And I want to be in your presence every single day. In fact, I don't want to walk into your presence and walk out. I want to take your presence with me. I want to know what you want. I want to feel your heartbeat. And when your heart beats, I want mine to beat, and then I'm going to respond. Because I'm going to come into his presence so he can fill me up so that when I come out, I can pour it out to everyone else. Every eye closed and every head bowed this morning, if you would. You know, there might be somebody here today that you've never said yes to Jesus, and God is throwing the ladder out. It's not just about prayer and presence. It's that God made a way for you to get back to him. God made salvation possible through his son, Jesus. Yes, this church is committed to prayer. Yes, this church is committed to doing things with Jesus and doing it his way. But more than any of that, we're about salvation, because we were all where you are today. We were all at the place of decision where we could go this way, which was our way, or we could go the Lord's way. And we don't know which way that was going to take us, but I can tell you this, it was far greater than anything I could have ever imagined for my own life. It's far more peaceful. It's far more hopeful. I'm not alone. I'm not perfect. But I'm the best human I've ever been because of him. If you find yourself in that place today, then I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand. There's a prayer team that's watching for your hand to slip up today if that's you. And you want to give your life to Christ. You want to say, Pastor Nicole, I want to accept Jesus as my personal Savior. I want him to come into my life and I want him to lead me. I want to do this life differently because the way I've been doing it, it hasn't been so good. Is there anybody that would be strong enough to say, that's me? That's me. And today I want to accept Jesus. I accept this lifeline that's being thrown out from heaven above. Anyone? I'm going to assume if there's no hands that everyone in here is born again and has accepted Christ as their personal Savior and we're all going to heaven. Then that brings me to this. Some of you have decided over 21 days of prayer that you want to fast for a season of time through this. Thank you. Thank you. Well done. Well done. You're going to do it. You're going to make a difference. And you're going to be changed at the end of this. But for those of you that maybe have not made a commitment today, I'm going to ask you as a pastor to make a commitment. I'm going to ask, there's a reason it's 21 days of prayer, because it's a proven fact that when you do something for 3 weeks, it can become a habit. And so though you might be starting out with it on your to-do list or as a meeting time, or that you've got to carve out this window, there's nothing wrong with that. It's the heart behind that carve out. Because if it's just to check it off, that's not what God's after. Would you commit to 21 days with your church? You're not doing it by yourself. We're in it together. We're in it together. Every night at 6 o'clock, we're going to join in this place, in this sanctuary. And we're going to join ourselves together for 1 hour. And we're going to pray together as a church. If there's some of you here that would say, Pastor Nicole, I've never made that commitment, but I want to make it now. I want to make it 2026. This is my year. I'm asking for a hand commitment. And I know that sounds crazy. And if you're already committed, raise your hand too. That'll make it easy. Yep, I see you. There's one. Yes. Yes. I see you. Thank you, bud. Mary Lou. Yes. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, girls. Love this. Look at that group of friends back there. Yes. Come together. I love it. Praise God. Keep your hands up. Yes. 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 Why? I'm doing an old thing. Pastor Bagwell's dad used to do this. He'd take your names down and write them and come chase you down if you didn't show up. No, I'm just doing this visual connection because you know what? You're my brothers and sisters. We're in this together. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're doing this together. I get it's a sacrifice. I get it. You know what? Carpool with some people. It's fun. It'll be fun. Some of them get snowy. It's crazy out there, but we come anyways. It's fine. Yes. Yes. Praise God. Thank you for your commitment. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Church, God is inviting us just to come and be with him. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, God, for the service. Father, we thank you for the invitation, God, that you saw what we needed before we even had need of it. God, that you made a way back to our Father, that we wouldn't be fatherless, we wouldn't be orphans. Now, Father, I'm just asking that over the next 21 days, Father, you saw the commitments of people in their hearts, in their time, in their effort, and their energy. But God, I'm asking that you would do a supernatural work in our church. A supernatural work in our church, Father, where we become dependent solely upon you. God, where we desire your presence and your passion more than ever before. Father, rekindle the fire that burns so bright within us at one time. Father, reignite the flames within our church and remind us of what it's like to spend time with you, God. Let revival embers burn in us, in our hearts and our minds for you. Come into our thoughts during the day and remind us of what our prayer time was like with you. Father, let the process begin. Grow us, God. Mature us in the things of prayer. Holy Spirit, begin to teach us and walk with us through this season. And church, I remind you, resist the devil and he will flee. When he tells you it's not working, when he tells you it's a waste of your time, he's a liar. He's just trying to get you to quit. He's trying to get you to throw in the towel so you won't become what God needs you to be in this season and in this life. There's a world dying out there every day, going to hell minute by minute. And thank God we're found. But I don't want to be the only one found. I want to catch more. Catch more for him. Just give us one more, God. One more. Father, bring someone into our path this week that we can share the gospel with. God, and I thank you, Lord, that as we venture out over this next 21 days, Father, that you give us strength and endurance to see through till the end. God, that we would be a church that finishes well. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, we're going to start our 25 minutes of prayer, and I still want our altar team down front. I do know there are some people that need prayer today, and Pastor Ray